Golden Crown Radio. I'm Joey.
And this is Nathan.
And this is episode number 7.
Siete.
Lucky number 7.
Yep.
Lucky number 11 is a movie with Bruce Willis and Josh Hartnett
and Lucy Liu. Yeah. It was really good.
Speaking of good movies, music, film, today we're going to be talking about something else from Tom, because Tom is basically executive producing our show now, and we could not do this without him.
Pretty much.
Yeah, he's our ideas guy. Tom, in his slew of great ideas, was interested in what we thought about art in the church, why it's important to the church, and since I consider writers to be artists, although it sounds pretty pretentious to be like, I'm an artist, but it's really not, because an artist is just someone who makes art, right? So you call him an arter.
Yeah.
Someone who makes art, someone who does art. But that's something we could talk about for a long time, and that's what we might do today.
That's the plan, at least.
And one thing that I remember talking about for like a semester in my humanities class in high school is, what is art?
What is art?
Yeah, so I don't like to spend a ton of time just pontificating to pontificate, just to philosophize. So for me, my easy working definition of art is that it's telling the truth in a creative way. And that could be through writing or through art or through even construction. Like what kind of building you're in says a lot about you. How you decorate your home, what kind of clothes you wear. I think that could all be qualified as art. And maybe if you're taking an art appreciation class, all those things wouldn't be in there. But for me, I think that all qualifies as art. So art is telling your truth in a creative way. What do you think art is?
It's interesting, because like, I mean, I hear that, and I immediately, my mind jumps to, in like a devil's advocate battle with you, what do you say about fiction? But I understand what you're saying there, where even when you're telling a story that isn't strictly true, you're still speaking some truth that's about yourself, or about the world, or about something that you understand.
Yeah, an artist should share, if you're an artist, you should share your worldview in your time, in your voice, your specific voice, I think.
Yeah.
And so even if you're just writing an essay about, I don't know, it doesn't matter what you're doing. If it's coming from you and if it's authentic, then to me that's art, because you're telling the truth in a creative way.
Yeah, because I mean, one of the things that we'll get to as we get farther into this topic a little bit as well is, I mean, one of the types of music that I enjoy the most actually doesn't have any words. It's instrumental music, either whether it's an orchestra or a film score or something like that. Video game music is a big deal for me. And so I think about the fact that under your definition, taking it that way, I guess, it's really interesting to figure out, like, okay, well, that does. It moves me in a way that it's intended to do so.
Mm-hmm.
So they are. They're telling a truth that they want you to understand. So I think that's a pretty serviceable definition, even though that I, you know, initially, you know, wanted to get up in arms about it a little bit.
And I think you can always poke holes in anything, but, I mean, if you're going to do that, what's your definition
that's
of art,
what internet,
is my question.
And that's what internet comment sections are for.
Yeah, so. Just telling people.
Poking holes.
On page 3, you said. So, by the way, here's a sidebar. I think, for the most part, especially, there's a lot of news stuff going on right now that's controversial. I think most people agree on like 95% of stuff, but for whatever reason, instead of mentioning that part and working on that, we talk about the 5% that we don't agree on, and we just draw these crazy battle lines, when in reality, I mean, 95% is an A, so we're, for the most part, really getting along, and I don't know why we focus on
I think it's without drawing this out even further, I think it's the same phenomenon that causes everybody to tell about their bad experience at a restaurant, but nobody tells about the 99 other good experiences they've had at the same one. It's just, you kind of get, we're privileged here in America. We get excited about the things that we already know that we are good, so we got to complain about what little stuff that we have to complain about when we have super technological wonders.
Interesting.
So.
But anyway, all that to say, our definition of art, telling your truth in a creative way, why is art important to you?
To me.
Mixmaster Nate.
Mostly because of the mixing and the mastering. I think those are the two most important things to me. You know, Sir Mix-a-Lot was really important.
Mm-hmm. Because he did so much mixing.
He did. He mixed a lot of things. I think it really gets back to what your definition is. When I think about what what I appreciate about art, what I appreciate about creating it. For one, it's you being able to tell your own truth to the world, you know, uniquely yourself. God obviously created us to be unique individuals. We're not all exactly the same, except for like twins and triplets that are identical. But even them, they're like a little bit different.
Not exactly the same.
But I like the fact that, even if you're best friends with somebody and you agree on everything about, it seems like you have the exact same taste in movies and films and music and all this other stuff, there's always something different that you have to say that the other person doesn't. And I appreciate being able to see that little bit that comes through. I think there's also, and this is something that I was thinking about a little bit when we were posed this question or posed it to each other. Before the podcast, was how cool it is that art can actually bring communities together in ways where I was thinking about, like Ballet Folklorico or something like that, which is kind of a weird, why did I pull that out of nowhere? But it's this cultural expression of art that, mm-hmm. that represents an entire, subset of a culture, which mm-hmm. was really fascinating to me. So it's like art has this power to not only express the individual, but also the community in a way that perhaps just sitting down and saying, like, let me tell you about my culture would not. Mm-hmm. The actual art of it, the dance, the music, can tell something in a completely different way than just saying, like, well, we really like a lot of colors and flamboyant dance. Yeah. So, how about you?
Well, just go off that real quick. I think I mentioned clothes earlier. I think clothes in particular are a way that you can quickly identify with a particular like culture or subset or... I've heard some fashion people pontificate that the reason jeans are so popular in America and maybe not as popular elsewhere, the reason they're especially popular here is because it denotes like a working class, everyman kind of, especially like in Texas, you can wear jeans and boots and a sport coat and go out somewhere nice.
Yeah, that's classy. That's a cowboy tuxedo, basically.
Yeah. So I think that is interesting that you can quickly use what I would call art to identify or signal to people what you're about.
Yeah, absolutely.
Why it's important to me, this is one of the things where I mentioned earlier, I don't like to pontificate just to pontificate. I don't really know if I can explain why art's important to me. It just is. I mean, it adds, color and flavor and spice to your world. It's the dragon pepper of life, it makes things experiential and sensual, but not like in a sexy way. But I guess it could be a sexy way if it's Marvin Gaye.
It could, yeah.
Right? And I also think what we surround ourselves with helps shape who we are. So it's kind of a circular thing where who we are kind of dictates what we like, but then what we like also kind of changes who we are. Since it adds that texture, it inspires us, it shapes us, it makes life, instead of just eating, sleeping, exercise, working, it adds meaning to life, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so that's part of why it gives purpose to life. It helps us, it reminds us what we're doing, why we're doing it. It encourages us, it inspires us, it helps us understand. And there are a couple of Bible verses that I thought were interesting that kind of go along with it. In Philippians 4, we hear, fix your thoughts on what's true and honorable, right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you've learned and received. So to me, if you surround yourself with things that remind you of who you want to be, and I don't think you have to be a Christian for that. I think that applies to whatever your belief system is. Also, I think in Proverbs 4, we hear about guarding your heart. What you consume and think about is a part of that. So you want to, if you're interested in running a 5K and you've never done it and you download Couch to 5K app and you follow the plan because you're thinking about what your goal is and you're trying to do that instead of do other things. I think those verses talk about that pretty well. There's also in Proverbs, it talks about trying to get wisdom. And I think engaging with art is a way to try to wrestle with what you think about the world. And so a lot of it is subconscious, like I like rock music and probably some of the rebelliousness of that feeds into my attitudes, especially in high school, I get in trouble for that a lot. But I think there's also good that comes out of that,
yeah.
Of understanding your role in the world and confronting things you don't like.
In talking about rebelliousness, in a very real sense, Christianity is a rebellion against all of the rest of, we're ultimately on the what we believe to be the right side. But it is. It's a countercultural thing. So mm-hmm. I think the rock music kind of even fits in with that a little bit, which is interesting.
I think that has tapped in to what I think a lot. And Oscar Wilde basically went to jail for being gay because at his time and place, that was not something that you could do. And while he was in jail, he thought about God a lot. And part of what he identified with Jesus was just being this kind of countercultural guy. So there's, I'll post a link to that if you'll remind me when we put the stuff up. But he has some really interesting comments on that. And he's one of my favorite writers just because he's so witty.
Yeah.
And it's interesting to see that that is what he identified with, was kind of the rebelliousness, the countercultural. And I wonder if the reason we have that countercultural streak or the rebellious streak, especially artistic people, is because that's just ingrained in you because this is not home base for us.
Yeah, absolutely.
Even though we live here and we're engaged here and we love the people here, we have the gut feeling that there's something else. And so when we see things we don't like, we bristle against it. And art is a good way to do that. I can't remember who said it, but somebody said, if you're going to tell the truth, make them laugh or else they'll kill you. And
that seems wise enough.
Yeah, I think art can be a cool way to disarm and get a message across like that. So art's important for a lot of reasons. For me, I think really the main reason is just because I like it. I think I'm just made that way.
Yeah.
And probably everybody is to some extent.
Yeah, I think the more that you talk about it, the more I realize that we are engaged with art in some way, shape, or form, or just creative expression in some way, shape, or form way more often than we actually give credit.
We talked about what we think art is and why it's important. Tom's original question was why is it important in the church or to the church? Given that sometimes it's conscious, sometimes it's subconscious, why do you think specifically art is important to the church? And this can be lowercase church or capital C, like across space and time, God redeeming everything church.
So when I was initially thinking about the idea of why this would be important, I was going back to, why historically was it important to the church? What all did we see, mostly in scripture, but also from church history, that we would know that art was important to them? And so I was thinking about things like the Psalms, which are basically a collection of songs and poems that are in a vast portion of the Old Testament. One of the longest, if not the longest, books in the Bible. Definitely one of the longest chapters in the Bible, with I think 119. Really interesting to see how even like the Israelites saw this as being an important part of expression of their belief in God. It wasn't just historical presentation with like Kings and Chronicles. It wasn't just telling like a story through allegory or whatever thing that it happened to be. They actually had like this artistic expression that was different. I studied Song of Songs or Song of Solomon really, really deeply one time in a college course that I took that was the Bible as literature, where we were studying scripture purely as a literary device, not as religious text. And seeing Song of Solomon not only as poetry as it was, but also as what I ultimately determined when I was reading through it is it's written very similar to like a Shakespearean play, not necessarily in form, but like there's definitely different actors that play in it. So I looked at that, and even like base creation and things like the temple that were created to be beautiful. When Solomon raised up the temple, there was gold ornament and like there were scenes that were depicted and whatnot. And so it was intended to be beautiful. And I think sometimes in the church, there's this tendency towards, believing that it needs to be very austere or very, just kind of boring in a way. Maybe that's incorrect way to put it. But, I remember growing up in a Baptist church in particular, there was this idea of it being like stodgy and it was kind of stuffy. And I'm like, none of that resonated with me as far as what I thought that the church actually looked like. Not only historically, that's not what I saw in scripture, but even the hymns that we sang, because, Baptist, particularly First Baptist churches, are really big on the hymnals. And I'm like, man, this hymnal is actually packed with, like, not only, like, theologically sound, songs or whatever, but, like, they're actually really beautiful. So art was extremely important, even for these people that were, considered stodgy and things like that. So I think it's interesting to see something like, especially as you go through hymns and you go through like Puritan prayer books, like I can't remember the name of what the thing is, but I have it, Valley of Vision. You look at these things that are almost written as they're written as it's a prayer that's written to God, but it's beautiful. Like you read it, and mm-hmm. it's like it moves the spirit. You read or you sing these hymns, and like they're packed with theology. But they're beautiful to sing and beautiful to hear. I mean, I remember at Joey's wedding that one of the guys that sings at Austin Stone sang How Great Thou Art, I believe is what mm-hmm. he sang, a cappella style, and like being like physically moved to like see how good the Father is mm-hmm. Based on his song. And I'm like, this is why like art and music and things beyond just like God is good as a statement are important mm-hmm. Specifically to the church, because not only is he good, but we can actually like taste some of that goodness and creative expression while mm-hmm. we're here. So how about yourself?
Yeah, I mean, those are what you're describing to me are like goosebump moments. They're yeah. things that capture something in you that 2 + 2 = 4 just can't.
Yeah.
I mean, there is an elegance to math, but you get what I'm saying, that there's just something that appeals to the kind of the primal heartbeat
yeah.
beat of us, that the rhythm of us that touches something. Yeah, for me, I think it's the same thing, because I specifically mentioned architecture earlier for the same reason right. that we surround ourselves with certain types of buildings and clothes and music, or if we don't, then we're even making a statement about that. And I think a lot of rituals we have in the church and things like that could almost be seen as performances or plays that are making a point, like yeah. Communion or baptism. Music has pretty much always been a big part of
yeah.
of what goes on in a religious gathering, not just Christianity. I've got a few reasons why I think specifically art would be important for the church. For all the reasons, the personal reasons we've just talked about and the public reasons we've just talked about, I think we're supposed to be salt and light in the world and servants of the people around us.
Absolutely.
And I think, what do you think of when you think of light? I think of safety. Like if you see light, you know, it's like home base.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a basic thing in a lot of video games. If you
right.
run to the light. Guidance. A light can show you where you're supposed to go, or it can keep you from danger, like a lighthouse.
Absolutely.
Lamp to your feet, light into your path.
Yep.
Warmth, like a campfire. Light can be comfort, and I think art can be all of those things, and that an artist who is a Christian can help provide those things in the world. Because earlier I mentioned words like authenticity and your own voice and truth. Whatever an artist thinks about the world, or whoever they are, if they're authentic, then that's what's going to come out in their art, no matter what form yeah. it's taking. And I think if you're a person who believes in God and believes that God's redeeming the world, then you're going to make a certain kind of art that is realistic about what's going on in the world and also hopeful.
Yeah.
And so I think light for yourself, light for your church community, both lowercase c, capital C. And by that, if you're not a Christian or you don't know what the heck I'm talking about, what I mean by that is that capital C church would just be like God's people throughout time and space.
Yeah.
And lowercase c church, I just mean like I worship at a certain church in Round Rock.
Yeah.
Like that group of people. It's important for all those, and also just for whoever you're around. It doesn't have to be believers. You're just who you are is emanating out in the world. I think God is creative, as we talked about from the very first podcast, and that's yep. a big part of why we're called Globe and Crown, because this creator God is redeeming the whole world, and we're engaged in that as a collective of artists.
Yep.
I believe in objective reality, so I think God speaks the truth and that there is truth. People who are Christians, it doesn't have to be, you don't have to write a hymn, you can write any song. But with your worldview, I think that truth would come through. It helps us explore ourselves, as we've already kind of talked about. It helps us wrestle with those issues that so we can understand the world that we're living in. And hopefully, if we're telling the truth and we're being honest about it, it also makes people realize, one, we shouldn't be like jerks who think we're better than everybody.
Yeah.
And two, even though we can be messes, we also know that there's somebody that can put us back together.
Yeah.
And so I think there is hope, and hopefully we can show as a unified church that a lot of bad stuff happens in the world, and we don't always understand it, and we struggle with it, and we also have hope, and we also know where all good gifts come from, which is God, and so
yeah.
we can share that with the world.
Yeah.
Why does specific art resonate with you? So you've mentioned particularly Star Wars, certain hymns, certain architecture, music scores. Why do all those things resonate with you, and what specifically resonates with you?
You know, I kind of thought through a couple of different things while I was thinking of this. I mean, I know that part of it is at least, you know, understanding that there's a wider destiny for us than our own. I think that there's, you know, something in me that has always existed is this idea for, like, adventure and more excitement than what, you know, a typical just person growing up in Central Texas is likely to run into. And so fiction or art or, you know, music or, you know, Star Wars, things like that, what Lord of the Rings was able to show was, like, that there was more obviously destiny for these, like, simple folk than would exist, in, you know, in their normal daily life, what they should expect. So it always resonated with me really, really deeply. In a sense, pointing me back to even in parts in Scripture where it tells us the grand destiny that God has for the church. And I think looking at stuff like that and understanding that my part in it might be small, my part might be pretty boring, doesn't detract from the fact that there's a grand story that I'm involved in. And so I think that's why I'm drawn so often to these stories that are larger than life, to this music that draws to larger than life, is this idea that, maybe I'm not able to see my, you know, maybe I'm the guy that was at, like, the Red Dragon Inn or something like that, or the Green Dragon, I guess, as it was in Lord of the Rings, and I serve the beer that he said it comes in pints. Actually, that was in Brie. You know, there's a grand sweeping tale of redemption that's happening all around me. And so I think that's what resonates with me the strongest, and the reason that I'm pulled to stories that are a little bit more sweeping, perhaps unlike the regular daily tales or whatever that pop up. One of the things that really hit me really hard when I was thinking about this as well is when you can hear a truth that you know is true in Scripture, that is presented in something that's not actually, like, the Bible itself. You're getting, you know, the specific thing that I've got here is my favorite quote from anything that I've read thus far, at least in my life. But it's a part from Lord of the Rings, in particular Return of the King, that resonates and, like, almost makes me, like, tear up, or does make me tear up pretty much every time that I read it. But it points me back towards true things that are in Scripture that I can hold on to and believe. But in this story, they're kind of presented, obviously, you know, Tolkien's, you know, life and his worldview was a Christian worldview as well. But it points to something that I think we so desperately want to believe is true. And we can see it, you know, even in the Bible or whatever. But this, like, says it in a way that I think is a little bit easier to grasp as a person that's just, like, a normal mortal being. And so this is at the end of Return of the King, so it's going to have some spoilers, you know, if you haven't read something that's super old.
Yeah.
And
it's
like
decades
had movies.
Old.
But it says, "But Sam lay back and stared with open mouth, and for a moment between bewilderment and great joy, he could not answer. At last he gasped, 'Gandalf, I thought you were dead, but then I thought I was dead myself. Is everything sad going to come untrue? What's happened to the world?' 'A great shadow has departed,' said Gandalf, and then he laughed, and the sound was like music or like water in a parched land, and as he listened, the thought came to Sam that he had not heard laughter, the set pure sound of merriment, for days without count. It fell upon his ears like the echo of all the joys he had ever known, but he himself burst into tears. There, then, as a sweet rain will pass down a wind of spring, and the sun will shine out the clearer, his tears ceased, and his laughter welled up, and laughing he sprang from bed. 'How do I feel?' he cried. 'Well, I don't know how to say it. I feel, he waved his arms in the air, I feel like spring after winter, and sun on the leaves, and like trumpets and harps and all the songs I've ever heard.'" There's quite a bit more to it that's even, you know, continuingly beautiful, but I remember reading that and, like, seeing a picture of you know, life after death, in a sense, in a way that I hadn't ever before. And I was like, man, this is something that was written by a guy that wasn't writing, you know, scripture. He was just writing, you know, what he believed to be true in his own unique voice. And I was like, man, that hits. Like, every time that I read it, it hits hard. And I think that resonates in a way that very, very few other things that I've read in life have been able to do. So that's a specific moment. You know, I don't have a tremendous amount of stuff that I can bring. I know that specifically every time hits me as hard as it does. But how about you, Joey? I know that you've got, you know, some things.
Yeah, man, that was really good. I like that. That reminds me, there's a verse in the New Testament that says, "The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death." And I don't think it's something we can, as mortal beings that are also these immortal beings, or will have this transcendent life. It's that's something that I don't even know if we can wrap our minds around. So yeah, having those stories is just so powerful. And also, like you said, this was like not something specifically, this story is not in the Bible, but the truth of it is, in an artist sharing his particular voice, his particular worldview, in a particular time. Was Tolkien involved in World War One at all?
He fought in World War One, yes.
Yeah, so somebody who had seen, like,
pretty much the worst that humanity has to offer.
Yeah, yeah, like, I mean, the Great War, so they didn't know it would ever get any worse than that. And for somebody that had been through that to write something that beautiful and hopeful is amazing. And, I mean, it's impacted generations and generations of people. Absolutely. Now. So that's really cool. I know, like, obviously we have the canon in the Bible that was decided a long time ago.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Quite a while.
It's interesting to also think that we have these, what I think are divinely inspired stories and truths that continue to be told throughout time. And there's certain, like, songs every decade or movies or books that people will just latch onto because there's something in them that just resonates.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's really cool. I didn't know if I had anything as specific in terms of what resonates. I know I've said authenticity a few times, and that's definitely true for me because I mentioned I have kind of a rebellious streak. And so if I smell crap, then my natural reaction is to absolutely call on it. So whatever your worldview is, if something doesn't ring true to me that the author really means it, then I don't like it. Or if it's just blatantly derivative, I don't like it.
Right.
What I do like is something new or original. Stories that are hopeful resonate with me, like Parks and Rec has been a show I really liked. My Boys was a comedy I really liked that was on TBS, but it had like a group of friends that would go through the ups and downs of life together. So
Jim Gaffigan was in that, right?
He was, yeah. He was the main character's brother. So Friday Night Lights, a show where normal people have small triumphs, but I mean, lives are made of, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Failures and triumphs, and those small things are really triumphant things. And so shows like that show maybe things can get better, you can have hope, people care about each other. We mentioned on an earlier podcast, the central question of Parks and Rec was, should I try? And the answer was yes. So those kind of stories or music really resonates with me. In my note, I wrote that mind-blowing things resonate with me. And I think I know what I meant by that. And it's that, like, I remember the first time I heard Jimi Hendrix and it just sounded like something out of space. It was just so crazy.
Yeah.
Or certain, like you just read that passage, certain books or maybe song lines that just ring so true, they give me goosebumps.
Yeah.
Like bands like Explosions in the Sky, or there are a lot of specific artists I like that I wouldn't call them, quote, Christian artists, because they don't necessarily make music that you would sing at church, but they're artists who are Christians, and so right, their worldview naturally comes out because that's
absolutely
what they
do. Yeah.
So Dustin Kinsrew is the frontman of Thrice. He was also briefly a worship leader at a church, so there's a cool worship album out of that. But Thrice is like a really cool rock band that started, I don't know, late 90s, early 2000s, and they took a break for a few years, but they're back now. But their music is like very aggressive, and a lot of their music videos are very like, there's some like World War II references and just general references of like being the resistance and things like that that I just love. And the lyrics are so deep and so true. And he's got a crazy like gravel screamy voice.
That's always good. Yeah.
Yeah. And I love that. John Foreman, who is one of the Foreman brothers in Switchfoot, which is another band that just has really like thoughtful songs, but they can also rock. I never liked Christian music at all until I wasn't really even going to church at the time in middle school because I had some bad church experiences and I didn't know if I believed it anymore. And I had some Christian friends take me to go see Third Day, and they're just like a Southern roots rock band, basically.
They sound like Hootie and the Blowfish.
They do sound like Hootie and the Blowfish.
But it's a white guy.
Yeah, I don't remember his name.
I don't either, but
he sounds like Darius Rucker.
I expected it to be Darius Rucker.
But it's not.
It's not.
It's just a guy from Georgia. I think they're from Georgia, but they were, sorry if you're not Third Day, but they were just so good and they rocked. And I was like, oh, you can like sing songs about God and actually be good musically. That's awesome. And I'm not trying to disparage anybody or what music they like, but for me, the things that I liked, it was awesome for me to see that there were other people that had the same interests and preferences.
Well, yeah, I think jumping in on that a little bit as well, too, is that there was a time in Christian music in particular where it was very derivative of, like, let's make, like, the whatever's popular mm-hmm. for, like, secular music right now and try to make as close as we can to that with, you know, and throw Jesus into the lyrics and hope that mm-hmm. it'll sell. And seeing guys that actually put the effort in to, like, really make some good songs and really, like, you know, rock, like you said, mm-hmm. Was refreshing. It was like, man, this is actually, like, really good. This isn't really good for Christian music. This is actually really good.
Exactly, yeah. It's not like, oh, this is good for a Christian band. It's just, I want good music that is also, you know, by Christians and has a Christian message.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the things where, yeah, I remember that being, you know, growing up in the culture and growing up in church and seeing, like, this is not good music just at all. And I'm not even big on music in general. I'm the most varying tastes in music of, like, anybody that I know, because I just don't care most of the time. And I sang Creed to a infant the other day trying to pacify him, and he loved it.
It worked.
Yeah, he absolutely loved Higher and Arms Wide Open. So if it works, you know, obviously God can use it. So. but yeah, I think this idea that you know, that it doesn't, it's not just good for religious music. It's not just good for a person who's Christian that's trying to express their worldview. It's like, no, this is, like, good. Mm-hmm. And I think that calls back to, like, even the genesis of, like, when God creates and it's like, he created and it was good. It wasn't, like, good for making, you know, this place. And it's like, it's good for Earth, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
It was good.
Another thing I wrote that resonates with me is mastery, and that's what we're talking about right now is like Minecraft. People love Minecraft, and I think they just like to make stuff that looks cool. If it's a turn of a phrase or just technical mastery of an instrument, or if it's a band that's obviously spent a lot of time together, and is breaking new ground. I love all that as well.
Yeah, I think that definitely hits. Sometimes people will look at something even like Minecraft or whatever and see, you know, somebody who's put, you know, an obscene amount of hours into making something. And they're like, what a waste of time. But I mean, like, I can even see that and just be like, I'm blown away that you were able to make that using what little limited tools you had available to you.
So Minecraft, for those of us who haven't played it, is just this, like, video game, and there's no real game to it per se, but you just have these basic 8-bit building blocks to make whatever you want, and sometimes there's monsters, but there's all these different things that you can combine and make whatever you want.
It's kind of like the closest thing to, like, a Lego mm-hmm. video game that's not just like this, like, idea of, like, Legos. Yeah, if you just had, like, a whole box of Lego, like they usually have at, like, the doctor's office for kids, you know, like, what would you do if you just could make anything you wanted? And that's kind of how Minecraft works.
Yeah. That's kind of what art is too, is we're on this world and we have these skill sets that we can develop and we can do whatever we want. And I think what we're getting at is we want to make things that represent us and represent what we believe.
Yeah. And I think, you know, even getting to the Tom's central point of why is it important to the church? It is, if we have good news to tell, which we believe that we do, if we believe that there's a good creator that's there behind it all that we want to let people know about, then it's important for us to have creation and creative endeavors and art that says what we believe in is something that is good. Not just good for a Christian guy trying to make some art. It needs to be, like, amazing. Not that, you know, everything that you're going to paint or whatever is going to be, you know, the most beautiful thing that's ever been, but, you know, I think that there's got to be something that when the authenticity, when the belief that's behind it comes through, when you take whatever unique thing that it is that you're capable of accomplishing, whether it's writing or speaking or music or, you know, a billion other possible things, maybe not a billion, but, like, a lot, you know, it's going to resonate with, there's a good story behind that. There's a good mm-hmm. something behind that that I want to know about. We see that in scripture even repeatedly where it's like, people are going to want to know what the difference is in somebody who is changed by Christ. And so I think that's why it's so important to the church that we have more endeavors than just really good sermons by guys who are gifted, because there's not a tremendous amount of people that are gifted that way, but there are people who are gifted with, you know, painting and art. And I remember seeing, you know, an Austin Stone presentation that they did when they were talking through, I believe it was Revelations, where they did an art series that went with it, and I was like, man, this is incredible. This isn't just good art for like a Revelation series, which is like taking some really strange stuff and trying to
It's like psychedelic.
Put
it's
it to crazy. Page or whatever. Too, I was like, no, this is just like super cool art. And I think that that's really important. I think that's why it's so important to the church, is that we have a good story to tell. We believe that we do, or we should. And so it's important that we figure out a way to be able to display that in whatever way that we can. You know, it doesn't have to be a really good sermon or a really good hymn or a really good, you know, worship chorus that you came up with. I think you'll agree with me on that, that that's basically why it's so important to us. So.
Yeah, I think you nailed it. Speaking of stories to tell, you want to talk about your vacation?
Yeah, so the little segue here into our like kind of outro, I guess. So and speaking about the church as a whole, so one of our listeners, actually both of them are listeners, Josh and James. James has lived in Los Angeles now for the past several years. I don't remember exactly how many, but more than a couple. And he's lived abroad or up in Lubbock or somewhere where, you know, God is able to work, but far from here for the past decade. And he's finally got an opportunity to move back to Round Rock, in fact, into my neighborhood. And so my pastor, my former roommate, my good friend, Josh and I, who's James's brother, are hopping a plane on Thursday morning. So in a day and, well, basically a day at this point, it's so early. And we're going to fly out to Los Angeles, help pack, and then drive back from Los Angeles to Texas. We're stopping at the Grand Canyon and a couple of things like that as well. So
sounds cool.
It's going to be a really neat experience, neat trip. Hopefully we'll survive it. We're going to have a cat with us. But I got
a cat to the Grand Canyon.
We are somehow or another. Right. That'll be a part of the story that I hope to tell. So part of my deal is I got us a little like handheld carry along recorder thing. And I'm planning on trying to produce a little bit of a story of kind of this coming home tale of a friend of ours that has been gone, you know, a brother, you know, a good friend that's coming back home after, you know, a decade almost away.
Yeah.
And so I'm excited about it. Hopefully it'll turn out as good art and not just good for Christian coming home tale. But hopefully that'll be a bonus episode here for Glove and Crown here before too awful long. So I've got a lot of ideas, got some different things that I want to be able to try with it, but really looking forward to kind of bringing in some pictures and some recordings and things like that that show this tale of bringing somebody, like I said, back to their home, back to their hometown in particular, which is interesting.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm super excited about that, and we're going to try to put a lot of effort into producing it, so hopefully, like Nate said, it'll be a bonus episode, and as I mentioned earlier, my work's been real busy, but I'm still trying to chug away on some of the projects, so we're still slowly but surely trying to get out content, and I hope we're also, I do see this as part of the content we're putting out, and I hope we're encouraging you to use your voice. I think that's all we have. I just really want people to feel empowered to be who they're supposed to be and tell everybody about it.
Absolutely. I think that nails it right there on the head.
All right. So signing off, I'm Joey.
And this is Nathan.
Cheers.
Cheers.